We're going to be continuing in our But God series. We're looking at the scriptures where the phrase "But God" makes a difference in the plight of men. And we've arrived at number 5. We've seen divine providence in the life of Joseph. We've seen divine empowerment in God's strength and provision for the psalmist. We've seen divine restoration, where we have a hope beyond the grave, and certainly divine provision in God demonstrating his love and bringing us to salvation. We culminated our morning observing the table of the Lord, and what a blessing it was to gather together. And it's kind of nice when we have folks from other local churches that gather with us, friends and family, and it's a warm reminder of what it's going to be like when the body of Christ is joined together from four corners of the world, and we are able to eat and drink with our Lord the table. And the glorified body of our Lord, you remember, is able to consume food, and he was able to do so in his earthly ministry. And that's just a foresight of what's going to be in the kingdom as we will eat and drink with our Lord together in the table. Take a look at the subject of God's divine illumination in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, the Bible tells us that the natural man receives not the Spirit of God. The heart of man is deceitful and above all desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Man's mind and his eyes are darkened and blinded to the truth of God's word. And in order for man to understand the word of God, his eyes must be divinely opened. And we praise the Lord for divine illumination. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, the common interpretation of verse 9 is a popular one. Most individuals will say, heaven is so beautiful, you just can't imagine. It's beyond anything as splendid as we may see by the handiwork of man. You go to Busch Gardens, you go to Disney, you go to Lou Gardens, you go to Bach Tower, you go to all of these places that are so beautifully landscaped. Remember Cypress Gardens when they used to have the Day of Discovery and they always used to feature their singers and beautiful fountains and all of that? And people would say, imagine what heaven is like. And people will use 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 as a proof text that all of these things, however beautiful they may be, can't compare to the beauty of heaven. Well, that's not really what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 is teaching. What it's saying is this: God's realities, his truths, must be revealed by the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot in and of himself understand spiritual truth. That's why it says, eye has not seen, the eye of the natural man. The ear of the natural man has not had enter into his heart the things that God has prepared. But notice verse 10 is the key towards understanding verse 9. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God must open man's heart to understand the truths of God's word. And therefore, God has revealed these truths because the Spirit, which we have within us as believers, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Every man has a spirit. How many of you remember R.B. Theme? Many of you remember R.B. Theme. R.B. Theme used to teach that the unsaved man does not have a spirit. Actually, the unsaved man is still in the image of God. His image has been marred, but he still is in the image of God. He has body, he has a soul, which is the seat of his personalities, and he has the spirit. But the unsaved man's spirit is dead, and it needs to be quickened. And that's why Ephesians 2 says, "You hath he quickened," made alive. You see, man's spirit, that portion of man which communicates with God, is the spirit of man. And unsaved man's spirit is dead, unresponsive towards God. Just like going to Baldwin Fairchild and yelling at a guy to get up and sit up. And it just can't happen. I was shown a video by one of my boys several months ago, and it was Saddam Hussein after he was hung and he was stretched out on a slab. Well, the whole thing was a hoax, because as the camera approached his body on the slab, he sat up and everybody went running. And it was just an internet scam. But you know, you go to Baldwin Fairchild and you say, "Get up," he can't hear you. He's unresponsive. He's dead. That's a picture of man's spirit that needs to be quickened. And we have the intervention here of God's divine illumination. Because the Word of God says in verse 10, "But God." Now, a lot of you may not understand all of what the Lord did to you when you got saved. And many of you were saved very early in life. But even in the experience of a child, the Spirit of God opens up their understanding so that they might be able to perceive biblical truth. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." You know, the psalmist said, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous truths out of thy law." When you have your Bible time, do you pray that prayer? "Lord Jesus, I want to see you. Lord, I want to experience in my time with you. I want you to take the scales off of my eyes to perceive biblical truths by your Spirit." And the Lord delights in revealing unto us. He says, "You are my friends," the Lord said, "for I have shown you all that the Father has revealed unto me." And the Word of God teaches that. And that's the "but God" of illumination, where God breaks into our spiritually dead condition and reveals unto us our need of salvation. Praise God for that. And I've heard and seen so many testimonies of individuals that said, "I've heard gospel messages, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God convicted me when I heard the ministry of God's Word, and I received Christ as my Savior." And I've shared with you in times past, I was in the congregation on a Sunday night when my dad got saved. When he went forward, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. We were baptized together after he received Christ as Savior. But my dad, to the last year of his life, in testimony, said, "You know, when I got saved and I went forward to receive Christ as Savior," and of course going forward doesn't save you, but he was running to the truths of God's Word, as it were, believing and making that public. And as he came, he said, "You know, it was almost as if I wasn't even walking. I was just floating down towards the front of the congregation." The drawing of the Lord and divine illuminationing, opening up our minds, and how we thank the Lord for that. Turn in your Bibles. Let me give you one more scripture of the wonderful things to come that we have to look forward to. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. I don't imagine there's a preacher that hasn't preached these great truths in a funeral service. The no mores. By the way, I've taken Revelation 21 and 22. If you really want to search it, there are 12 no mores that are mentioned in these two chapters. We're not going to cover them, don't worry. But I just want to give you a few of the no mores. Let me just give you a few. In verse 4, we'll stop at verse 4. No more sea, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more temple, no more sun, no more moon, no more night, no more wicked, and no more curse. 12. Makes a great sermon, but we're not going to do that. Look at just verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you know of someone who's been grieving and sorrow, suffering, in agony, perhaps illness? God will wipe away the tears. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, for you and for me, this is going to become a reality earlier than other believers. And what I mean is this. How many of you have a mom and dad in heaven? Let me see your hands, okay? For them, this is already a reality, okay? But for others that are yet to go into the veil of eternity, we know that in the eternal state, all will experience this. No more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Thank the Lord for the but God of illumination. And you know, John 14:3 says we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. And by the way, will there ever be a time when we're not going to need divine illumination? Will there ever be a time, and this is a good question to ask ourselves, will there ever be a time when we will not need to be taught from our Lord? No. Now, what about that verse that says, we shall know as we are known? Well, let me take you to a scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You're going to be a student throughout all eternity when you get to heaven. You're going to have an unfettered, glorified mind that is going to be able to take in truth and not forget it. You know, one of the characteristics of getting older is that you can read something and then you'll say, what did I just read? Of course, I know some college students that are that way, or high school students. What did I just read? That's because they got their mind on MTV or videos or something else. But, you know, when we get to heaven, you think of Adam. When he was back in the garden, he was able to name every one of the animals and remember them without forgetting. Some of you meet somebody in church and you turn to your wife and say, what was their name? What was their name? All of us do that, don't we? Well, look at Ephesians 2 and verse 7. After it talks about our being raised up together and sitting in heavenly places, in verse 7 it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven in the eternal state, we're going to be constantly learning more about the depth of the infinite nature of God. So you see, if you have a problem with election, if you have a problem with understanding the mysteries of suffering, such as Job encountered, don't let that bother you. You don't have that glorified mind yet to be able to harmonize the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of men. Right now, there are a lot of things we accept by faith. But someday, with unfettered minds, he will teach us and we will grasp all of it and understand it. But it'll never end. Divine illumination is going to be our experience in the ages to come. And we're going to serve the Lord together throughout all eternity, Revelation 22 and verse 3. Let me give you another aspect of but God, the intervention that God demonstrates, not only in illuminating us, and we've seen these scriptures that I've just shared together, but we have the but God of divine salvation. I'll not dwell long time here, but you know the scripture, but God commended his love towards us. As man's condition was hopeless, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm just amazed at the fact that God even saved me. I deserve hell, eternal separation from God, and yet God, in his mercy and grace, showed me mercy. When we were yet without strength, we were ungodly, and yet he died for us. Number 7. This is the negative but God. You thought all of them were positive? Let me show you that there is a negative but God. Because, you know, there are people that are going to reject the gospel. And they're going to reject the existence of God. And they're going to replace God. And it was to the rich fool, the parable of the rich fool. You'll notice in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, here was an unsaved man. He was a rich man, verse 16 says. The ground brought forth plentifully. That's common grace. You know, God demonstrates common grace even towards the most ungodly men. Some of you in business know of ungodly men whose businesses and farms and pasture lands may be blooming, and yet they're godless. That's common grace. And you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 2, the goodness of God should bring men to repentance, and yet many will not see their need. And here was a man who had eye problems. He had eye problems. Why do I say that? Look how many times the word eye is found. He thought within himself, verse 17, what shall I do? He thought he was in charge of his own life. Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. You see, he thought it all belonged to him. And he probably thought somehow he'd be able to take it with him. I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul. See, he thought his soul belonged to his own self. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, I've often thought about verse 19. Do you think that this rich fool had ever been witnessed to before? It could be that verse 19 was his answer to the light that he had received. People had talked to him about his need to be saved, to put God first, and his response was always the same. You know what? I'm a self-made man. I don't need anything. Look at all the things that I've done. I'm okay. You've got much goods laid up for many years. Don't worry about what those people are preaching. Take your ease. Don't worry about this judgment talk. Eat, drink, and be merry. Drown out conviction. Drown out your conscience. Drown out your guilt with alcohol and anesthetic crutches and pleasure and all of the things that are found in the book of Ecclesiastes. But notice the divine but God. He steps in verse 20. But God said unto him. See, most people don't know the day of their passing. Today we've heard of tragedies. Yes, I believe and I would hope that everyone that went into eternity in Sutherland Springs, I prayed that all of them had received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Maybe there were some that were putting it off, and to them, it was just going to church to fulfill parental requirements or whatever. But you know, I pray that all of them receive the Lord as Savior. But the truth of the matter is, we never know by accident or whatever could happen, the suddenness of the termination of life. How we've seen examples of individuals in cars crossing intersections where just a fraction of a second T-boned and brought into eternity. And yet the Word of God says, thou fool. A fool, because a fool is a man who orders and patterns his life as if there were no God. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And that's one of the but gods that we're given in our series out of 8 to warn us. Yes, God is a God who loves to intervene and bring blessing. But there are interventions of God when he says, you've heard the truth for the last opportunity. You've heard, you've said no for the last time. And you know, confirmation in unbelief is the unpardonable sin. That opportunity, the last one, we never know when it's going to be. If you're listening to this message today, oh yes, it's wonderful to hear the but gods of divine protection and salvation and illumination and all of these things. But you know what? We need to make sure that we know Christ as personal Savior. Let me give you one last but God that is found in our series here, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. I call it the but God of divine selection. Let's begin with verse 26, and then we'll read verse 27. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now notice the word many does not mean any. There are and there have been in times past many notable people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, but they are not many. But it doesn't say any. Most of us are just God's noble nobodies. And it says here, God has chosen. But God, there's your intervention. It's true that not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Things that the world considers foolish to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The things that the world considers base and simple, the base things of the world, the things that are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What else do you need? Just think of it. The Lord gives us wisdom through the Word of God. He gives us righteousness through His Son. Sanctification Being made conformed to the image of Christ is the work of the Spirit of God, and redemption is all by grace. The whole Christian life is all of His. Praise the Lord for His divine intervention. And then it concludes it by saying this, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May God bless and challenge our hearts as we consider these true concepts of divine intervention. You know, I could give an opportunity now and say, I want you to tell me in testimony form how God has intervened in your life in a special way. What would you say if someone came up to you on the spot, even a neighbor or a friend, and they came up to you and said, can you give me an example of something special that God has done for you recently? How God has intervened in your life? And it truly has been a but God moment. What would you say? Am I catching you on the spot? Are you saying, well, I really can't think of a time? The truth of the matter is, He gives us those moments every single day of our lives. For some of you, it might be, you know what? I could have very well died in that accident that I had because I was endangered. I could very well have died in that illness that I encountered, were it not for the divine protection of the Lord. I want you to be sensitive towards the Lord this week of the but God moments. The but God moments in your life, in your children's lives, and even in your grandchildren's lives. And be anxious to help those around you to recognize those moments and give Him the glory. But then I want to challenge you in another way. All around you are people like the rich fool who think they got it made, who think they got everything covered, everything made in the shade, as they say. And yet, we need to warn them that, you know what? God is going to step in someday. Are you going to be ready for eternity? Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you trusted Him as personal Savior? Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just wondering, as a believer, will you just take a few moments in reflection and give God the glory and thank Him for intervening in your life? Isn't it wonderful to know that the very hairs of your head are numbered and that God is in charge of your life? Aren't you glad that you could say, Lord, be there as I know you will be. Keep me from sin. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, soon as I can, I want to testify, even during this holiday season, when we get together with friends and loved ones and we have a testimony and sharing time about how God worked in 2017, I want to be able to stand up to my kids and grandkids and say, you know what? God's been good. Oh, He's intervened, and I've had so many but God moments in my life. And that can be true in your life too. Let's give and shine our lights that others may glorify God. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, for this brief time we've had together and looking at these 8 occurrences. And Lord, there are many, many more. But Lord, thank you for the fact that you care for us. And Lord, that you were willing to intervene in our lives, in our time and space, and come in the form of a servant to be our Savior, the shepherd dying for the sheep. And Lord, the greatest of all events, in the fullness of time, Christ came as our Savior. Bless us now, Lord, as we rejoice together. And Lord, we thank you for those times that you do minister to us. and dear sweet hours of prayer as we're together. In Jesus' name, amen.